get uncomfortable. It's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Good morning. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It's the 28th of January, last one of the month. Holy crap. By the way, you got about a little over 2 weeks until Valentine's Day. If you're planning on taking somebody out, just throwing that out there. Friendly reminder, because I booked our reservation 2 weeks ago. I'm pretty dang proud of myself.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah, my wife told me where she wanted to go, so I'm like, all right, do it now. Don't screw it up like usual. So I appreciated that. We got a lot going on today here on the Joe and Alex Show. But before we do all of that, why don't we see how everybody's doing? Alex, what's going on?
I went and saw the movie The Upside this weekend with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart. So good.
Oh, isn't that like where he's disabled or something and Kevin Hart has to take care of him?
Yeah, so it's based on a true story, which I did not know till I went and saw the movie, where Bryan Cranston's character is like a quadriplegic. He's totally paralyzed from the neck down after a hang gliding accident. And so he ends up hiring Kevin Hart's character to be his caretaker, live-in caretaker, and take care of him, and just like the ups and downs of that and their friendship and stuff. So good. It's one of the best movies I've seen in a while because it really made me think about a lot of things. I don't remember the last time a movie really made me think, and I analyzed so much of the movie. I feel like my English teacher in high school would be really proud of me. I analyzed all this stuff, but it was excellent. So definitely go see that. Go hit up a matinee or something during the week. Save some money. And also something cute that I thought you should know, Joe, is that my friend is a big sister with Big Brother's Big Sisters.
Yes.
And so she took her little sister to get their nails done together for her birthday. And while they were at the nail place, the nail tech doing their nails was like, you're a big sister with Big Brother's Big Sisters. Joe from the Joe and Alex Show is a big brother with Big Brother's Big Sisters. And my friend was like, yeah, I'm friends with Alex. And she's like, no way.
Whoa.
But she knew about you and you being Big Brother's Big Sisters, and she was saying, because of Joe, I've now been thinking that I want to volunteer to be a mentor with Big Brother's Big Sisters. So I thought that you would find that exciting.
I do. It's so awesome because, like you mentioned on the air recently, your boyfriend, the Egyptian, he just signed up now. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a big brother. There's hundreds and hundreds of young boys and girls, too, that just want an adult in their life. So
yeah,
you can check it out online, wherever you're at, and be a Big Brother, Big Sister. It's such an easy commitment, but that is a cool story. Liv the Web Girl, how was your weekend?
It was good. I'm starting to think maybe I need a big sister or
you
something.
You mean a little one?
Yeah, no.
A big one.
She wants somebody to take care of her.
I'm just kidding.
That's not how it works.
But I had a lot of fun this weekend. On Friday, though, I stayed up until 4 a.m., like taking shots with my boyfriend and all of his roommates, and things just like got out of hand. We were dancing. I was wrestling with one of his roommates at one point. So it was just, I have not stayed up till 4 a.m. taking shots in a very long time, believe it or not, but it was a ton of fun. And then literally the next day I was like hungover and like out of service all day and like dead to the world. But I probably slept like, I think, a full 24 hours between like Saturday and like Sunday morning.
That sounds healthy.
I can't take shots anymore.
Yeah, I think I realized that I couldn't. And you know what? It started out like a very kind of like adultish night. We went to go see a band play. The Nouveries, they're super good. And then
the Nouverings?
It does sound like that. Nouveries. But, and then we went to Union 50, which is a cool place.
That's one of my favorite places. Yep.
Yeah. And so, which is like kind of an upscale thing. So I was like, I'm very adulting. And then we went home and that just went to crap. But yeah, so that was pretty much my weekend.
God, that just makes me stressed out. 4 a.m.? Wow, that's late. What about you, Porkchop?
My weekend was actually very similar to Liv's in a sense. Friday night, I was also up till 4 a.m., but except I was responsibly Uber driving.
Ooh.
Well, good for you.
Man, you stayed up late.
But,
you stayed up like 24 hours because that's what time we wake up. So, like Friday, you went to work and then you were up all night Uber driving?
I took a 4-hour nap.
Okay.
So that's how I was able, a nap from like 3 to 7.
That's good.
But Saturday night, my night was kind of like your Friday night. I never get hungover. Never. But Sunday morning, oh my gosh, I had a pounding headache.
What did you drink that made you so hungover?
Oh man, I went all over downtown of Saturday night. I had some, I don't even know what I had, man.
Well, that's not good. You should know what you're drinking.
I saw something on your Instagram story and it looked very colorful. I always
like blue.
Say,
yeah, yep, blue.
I always stay away from the really colorful things because that's the thing that's going to make you super hungover.
It's got the sugar and the diabetes.
I know what that was. I can't say it on the air though. I'll just say an adios.
I know what you're going to say.
I know.
I had
adios, Mother Nature.
Yeah. I had a Patron, a frozen Patron margarita.
Ooh, that sounds so good right now.
It was crazy, but yeah, I can't drink that much ever again.
All right, cool. Yeah, my weekend was kind of like you as far as side hustling. Man, I respect anybody that does a side hustle. I made like a couple $100 this weekend just picking up those bird scooters and releasing them. Like, that's what I did. Like, after work on Friday, I'm like, I'm going to go make some money. So
I guess you had to do that to pay off those Hamilton tickets.
Yeah, $1,200. So I only got to do that for about 2 more months and I can afford the tickets. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited. That was my weekend.
Coming up next in the garbage, the big winners from the SAG Awards last night. Will Tom Brady be retiring after the Super Bowl, and a famous Netflix actress is being stalked.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
The SAG Awards were last night, and the show opened with actors telling their stories with former Cosby Show co-star Jeffrey Owens talking about how his story went viral after it was discovered that he was working part-time at Trader Joe's.
So somewhere in the middle of the road of my life, I found myself in the dark wood of unemployment and debt. But instead of switching careers like the same person, I took a job at a local Trader Joe's to see if I could hang in there with my career. And it's actually worked out pretty well. I'm Jeffrey Owens, and I am an actor.
Stars of the superhero blockbuster Black Panther went home with the best ensemble in a movie.
Did we know that this movie was going to receive this kind of response? Meaning, was it going to make $1 billion? Was it going to still be around during this award season? Has it actually changed the way this industry works? How it sees us? And my answer to that is to be young, gifted, and black.
The stars of This Is Us were voted Best Ensemble in a TV Drama. Emily Blunt won the prize for Best Supporting Actress in a Movie for her work in A Quiet Place. And Rami Malek won the trophy for Best Actor in a Movie for Bohemian Rhapsody. During an interview with ESPN that aired Sunday, Tom Brady was asked if he'd be retiring after the Super Bowl.
Is there any chance that this is your last game? Zero.
Zero.
Say it. I don't want to just say
there's zero. Yeah, okay. There's zero. I've said that for a long time. I feel like I'm asked that a lot, and I feel like I repeat the same answer. I've set a goal for myself at 45, and like I said before, it's very hard to make it that far. I know how hard it was this year, you know, and the commitment it takes, and hopefully I've learned from some of the things that happened this year to be better next year, but every year is tough.
And this is creepy whether you watch Black Mirror or not, but cops have found a tracking device under the car of Black Mirror star Gugu Mbatha-Raw. I know
Excuse
that
me?
Is a very different name.
Gugu Gaga?
Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Okay.
Just days after she claimed she was being stalked by her neighbor, the actress claims the female fan launched a 2-month campaign of harassment around Los Angeles, even following her to hotels and spin classes. She told cops how the stalker would bombard her with phone calls before hanging up every time she answered. TMZ claims LAPD officers later found the GPS device stuck to the underside of her car. Terrifying. And Britney Spears and Swedish songwriter Max Martin worked together for their musical collaborations in Martin's new musical, Anne Juliet. Anne Juliet is inspired by William Shakespeare's doomed teen lover girl from Romeo and Juliet. And it's going to feature tunes that we all know, like Britney's Oops, I Did It Again, and The Weeknd's I Can't Feel My Face. The production is set to premiere at London's Shaftesbury Theatre in November, and tickets go on sale via Ticketmaster beginning February 11th. Coming up in less than an hour, looks like Brad Pitt may have an A-list Friends with Benefits.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Happy Monday to you. Monday Music Marathon going on right now. One of Alex's favorite shows is something I got into a little late, but she's watched it like a million times. What is it?
The Office.
Okay.
And it's the number one streamed show on Netflix.
Boom. Even when they raise their prices, we're still watching it. Well, if you watch The Office and people say, hey, quit wasting your time watching TV, tell them to shut up. Why? Because it could save somebody's life. A 21-year-old Arizona man helped save a woman's life after learning CPR from an episode of The Office.
Okay, too fast. Everyone, we need to pump at a pace of 100 beats per minute.
Oh, okay. That's hard to keep track. How many is that per hour?
How's that going
to
help you?
I will divide and then count to it.
Right.
Okay, well, a good trick is to pump to the tune of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Do you know that song?
Yes, yes, I do. I love that song. First I was afraid, I was petrified.
No, it's... staying alive,
okay.
Staying alive.
You were in the parking lot earlier, that's how I know you. staying alive, staying alive. Staying alive, staying alive.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Words it loud, women warm, been kicked around since I was born. Well, it's all right, it's okay. You can look the other way. Let it go, let it go.
Okay.
Staying alive, staying alive.
Yeah, okay, you didn't maintain 100 beats per minute, and the ambulance didn't arrive because nobody called 911, so you lost him.
Okay, he's dead. Anyone know what we do next? Anybody?
Harvest the organs.
I have no idea.
Anyone else?
We bury him.
Wrong. Check for an organ donor card. If he has one, we only have minutes to harvest.
Okay. Yeah, well, that song, as we mentioned, has the correct tempo for chest compressions. Within a minute, the woman was breathing and taken to the hospital. She has recovered.
Wow.
And has since been released. So, maybe we need to watch more TV.
Or just The Office.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think it's just The Office.
Time for Joe's Need to Know News. Well, the government shutdown has ended, at least for 3 weeks. President Trump announced on Friday that he reached a deal with congressional leaders to reopen the government. The deal includes no money, however, for a border wall. Trump said that if a fair deal doesn't emerge in 3 weeks, another shutdown may follow. The deal's funds for the government goes through the 15th of February, so just after Valentine's Day. If they don't come to a new resolution or agreement, it'll be shut down again. A woman named Leslie Priest of Atlanta is trying to track down an old travel mug she donated to Goodwill. Will last week. Oh, God, I hate saying this. They had $6,500 stored in it in cash.
Whoa.
It's like a coffee mug. We have like a lid on top. That's why she couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just sick to my stomach. And inside, that money was for her son, Devin. He had just sold a car and put the cash inside the mug. I guess he was going to take it to the bank later. And she probably watched one of those tidying up shows. And she's like, well, we don't need these coffee mugs. I'm going to tidy up.
Check everything. Check your pockets.
Oh,
check
God.
Your boxes.
Lindsay is now offering a reward for the return of the cash and the mug. This is just... this is sad.
First, I thought it was a joke or a prank or something like that. But then I found out that the mug had been donated to Goodwill. She thought I was upset about the mug being gone, which I've missed the mug as well. But what was inside of it was a little bit more important.
Yeah, like the $6,500. Lindsay is begging anyone who knows where the money is to please return it.
No mother wants to, disappoint their child and give away certainly something that he's worked really hard for. So I'm just asking someone to please, have it in your heart to, do the right thing and give it back.
I mean, if this gets returned, we'll hear about it. Do you think the money will be returned?
No.
Not a chance.
Really?
I'm sorry, lady, but you messed up.
Yeah, you owe your son about $6,500. Did you ever have anybody donate something? I know it's kind of a rare thing, but I had a treasured item that my mom donated, and I was so pissed/heartbroken.
No, I haven't.
I had a baseball glove that was autographed, and I always say I'm from Michigan. That's where I'm originally from. A huge baseball player is Alan Trammell. Okay, he's a legendary Detroit Tigers player, if you don't know that. And I had an autographed glove when I was like 10. I met him at like a Walmart. He was doing a signing there. So freaking excited. Autograph right on there. You can clearly see it. It doesn't say Joe Pesh. Like, I put my name on the glove. This is Alan Trammell. My mom's like, oh, I donated it. I thought that was your old glove. I'm like, Mom!
Oh, no.
It is my old glove. It's my Alan Trammell glove. So.
Well, you gotta, put those like in a case or something.
Well, apparently I should have, because my mom must have been in a tidying mood that day years ago because she got rid of it. So I feel the pain there. What do you think about this? Let me explain the whole story before you rush to judgment. A Florida woman was arrested after she hit children who were not hers while hosting a sleepover. Now, here's what she did. Hold on. She spanked one of the kids with a belt. a shoe, and a spoon after the child swore at her. Another girl said she was hit in the knee with a wooden spoon, while another was held down so she couldn't leave.
Oh my gosh.
Several of the children had their parents call the police when they got home. The woman was drinking during the incident, so that doesn't help. She's been charged with false imprisonment and child abuse. What do you think?
Now, I work with kids every Monday night.
Do they swear at you?
Yes, I have had kids swear at me. I've had kids spit on me.
Yeah.
Oh, so here's I'd be the slapping thing. Them in the face.
These thoughts run through my mind, but I have enough self-control and I'm sober enough to not do them. Like, even though you think about it, because everyone thinks about it sometimes, you don't do it.
No, a kid spits on me, right in the face. I'm going to slap you. Or I'm going to spit back on you, teach
I'm
you a lesson.
I'm just a really good patient person, clearly.
Wow.
I think it's just hard for me not being there and seeing it. Like, you know, what if she was just spanking, you know?
Yeah, but there's a difference between spanking your kid and spanking another person's kid.
It used to not be the case, but now it is the case.
I don't think it should be different.
I could not even imagine. My dad spanked me one time. I remember when I was like six and I gave him the middle finger. That's why. But I could never imagine what my parents would do if another adult spanked me, especially with an object.
A shoe.
My parents would have been like, oh, Joe flipped you off. Joe cussed at you. Did you knock his teeth out? Like, good for you. Like,
I don't know.
My mom and dad used to pass me around. So if I was like acting out in public or at church or something, they'd go to another adult and be like, would you like to spank her? Or sometimes other adults would ask if they could spank me.
They'd
be like,
their hand was so sore all the
time?
Well,
they were just busy. Yeah, so like we'd be at the grocery store and some stranger would come up and I'd be like throwing a temper tantrum. They'd be like, do you want me to talk to her? Do you want me to spank her? And my mom sometimes would be like, yes, please.
I mean, that's because just so bizarre knew. Why they thought it was their business. If you see a kid throwing a temper tantrum, you ignore it because like that, all they want is attention.
I think because my mom knew that I would listen to another adult more than I was to her. So she would say, sure, step on in, help me out.
I mean, I can say that probably you as a little kid, you probably just wanted attention. So when you were given attention, that probably just fueled the fire.
Some things never change. And our final story today for Joe's Need to Know News. I am so jealous of this 10-year-old New Jersey boy. He became the youngest person in state history to bowl a perfect game. Kay Struthers also became one of the youngest bowlers in the country to reach perfection. He became serious about the sport 2 years ago. He says he practices at least 4 times a week and comes from a bowling kind of pedigree, I guess you could say. His family loves to bowl. His grandfather was a big bowler. His parents are in a bowling league, and his uncle has had 2 perfect games in his life. The fifth grader says he hopes to take his talent to the pro level one day.
Cool.
That'd be pretty dope, like Kingpin almost, you know, making that little side money on the PBA, Professional Bowlers Association. I'm just so jealous. I think the highest game I ever bowled was like pure luck. Alcohol might have been involved, and it was like a 190.
Oh, I still bowl with the gutters up.
Me too.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, then I guess I can be happy I can beat somebody. That's Joe's Need to Know News here on the Joe and Alex Show. You can check it out at joeandalexshow.com.
Let me take a selfie.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. And ladies, stop doing this if you're single and trying to catch a man.
Especially because we are in crunch time for Valentine's Day, all right?
Oh, wow, you're really pushing it.
All hands on deck. And so many of you I discovered over the weekend are doing this, and I don't even really feel sorry for you because you're just an absolute moron if you do this. My friend, God bless her, Danielle, we went out for her birthday this weekend, and you might have seen if you follow me on Instagram, I put on my story a picture of us, and I said for guys to slide into her DMs because she's single. Well, all these guys start DMing me because Danielle's Instagram is private.
Oh,
oh my God.
I know. This is seriously amateur hour. Danielle, come on. So I messaged Danielle. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to help you here. Take your Instagram off private. And I was just thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, in 2019, if you have a private Instagram, why? There is literally no reason. There is no reason, no excuse for anyone, for anything to have a private Instagram unless you have nudes up. I don't know of any other reason why you do that because you ruin your chances. No guys can check you out to see if they want to ask you out. If someone is like trying to talk about you to their friend to set you up with somebody, the first thing somebody's going to ask is, oh, what's their Instagram? Let me look. If they pull up your Instagram and all they see is your stupid little tiny circle and nothing else, they're done. They're pulling out. out. They're
wait
not
a minute,
going
wait
to
a
give you the time of day.
You could have a nice little bio up there, even if the account's protected, right? Can't you have that?
No one cares about
no,
that.
No, you have to see
oh,
the picture.
Oh, I do. I want to read people's stuff.
Also, if you have a private Instagram account in 2019, you are cheating.
Yeah, that's I was going to say you're married. Yeah.
You're cheating, yeah. Or you're married, and you're hooking up
that's
with other girls.
That's not even true. If
you're
you have
cheating,
a private account,
absolutely.
If your account is private, Liv, it could be that maybe you like to keep it private. Or maybe
what do
you
mean
for
to keep
example,
private?
The stuff you do on the weekend, you may not want people to see in a different line of work. In radio, we're like, oh my God, yeah. Look at Liv. She's drunk at 4 a.m. doing shots. That's cool for our job. But if you're some professional person, you don't want people seeing that.
Here's the cold, hard fact. If you're a professional person and you're going out getting wasted, and totally blackout over the weekend, and you're posting pictures and videos about it, it doesn't matter if your stuff is private or not. Someone on your friends list still could screenshot that
exactly.
And send it to your boss if they
course.
Want.
Of course, they could.
If that's not acceptable, then you need
don't
to make
post
sure.
It at all.
Yeah, that should not be posted. But I will say, I have all my friends who graduated college are in a professional line of work, and you know what? Their bosses are like, yeah, you know what? I get it. I was 23. 24 one time too, and like I was getting hammered. Like they don't care.
Wow,
but
sounds like a cool
think,
boss to me.
But don't you think, Liv, that girls that are single that happen to have a private Instagram, like maybe 25% of the reason they're single could be like a reason because they have a 1,000% private Instagram?
1,000%. Like I think that if you are single, you are doing yourself a disservice. If you have a private Instagram, like it's
stop.
2019.
Yeah.
I don't understand
just
or
stop.
Get it. I know more people that have gotten into relationships based off of like a DM
yeah.
than anyone. And it doesn't even have to be from a complete stranger. It can be from a mutual friend of someone you know.
Exactly.
Or someone that you've seen around town or that you might have like used to go to college with or something.
Yeah, you could literally like a photo that your friend posts, okay? And some friend of theirs that you don't know just sees your name, had liked it, and they're like, who's this person? I'm just gonna click out of curiosity. They could see your profile and be like, oh my gosh, this girl's like cute, we have a lot of the same interests, I'm gonna DM her. But if you're private, they can't do that.
Wait, they can't? You're telling me they can't DM if it's private?
I mean, yes, but they're so much less likely to because
oh
they can't
God.
Even
well,
see
then,
what
then,
you're
then
selling.
They're not interested in you then. What
no,
are you
they're
selling?
Not because
what are you,
they don't
a piece
know.
Of meat?
No, they don't
you
know.
You know what I mean.
I know, Joe, you're turning this
you're
into
so
something
thirsty.
It's not.
No, other no. girls listening right now, like they're having epiphany moments, their light bulbs are going off in their head. You are right now, you're going to change to public.
Yes, if you are in a relationship and you are private and happy, you stay there, honey. But if you are single, looking to try to find someone, take
make
that
it public.
Thing off of
so
private.
So wait, you two both are in relationships. Why are you both out in the public?
Because in general, I think everybody
yeah,
should be public.
I think
it's
so too.
Weird. You're weird if
I
you have it private. Nobody cares that much about your life.
No, I don't care who sees my Instagram.
Let's talk to Mindy on the Joe and Alex show. Mindy, what are you calling in for? What do you want to say?
I don't think it's dumb to go private. I think that's inappropriate.
Oh, you're talking about Instagram. Alex is talking. Every girl, listen up, girls. If you're single and you want to get a man, you got to stop having your account be private. Okay.
No, I think that's stupid. It's a safety issue. And I have teenage daughters, and I don't need someone to, you know, give any more, what's the word? It's hard enough to keep these kids private and not get on social media and blast everything that they do. Besides, you have a DJ that's telling them all to go private.
Okay,
or to go public.
Mindy. Obviously, I'm not talking about teenagers.
Or
Liv
children.
Liv and I are talking about adults. If you are not smart enough to realize that we are talking about adults, I can't help you.
And if you have a problem with your kids being on social media, then that's something between you as a parent and your kids. We were talking and referencing, obviously, adult women when I
well,
was...
Well, then reference that. Well, then
it's
reference
all,
that.
Literally everyone
Joe,
besides you knew
Joe,
that.
Is it Joe?
Joe's here. Wait a minute.
Are you kidding me? Can I just tell you something?
You can't hang
you
up
know,
on me, Mindy. That
listen,
hurts.
Listen, this woman, 100, this woman has a can I talk to the manager haircut.
All right, I'm there not going to let you talk about our listeners
100%.
That way. 100%. You don't know
thing.
If that's true
here's
or not.
The thing.
How is she that stupid not to
we
realize who I'm talking about?
I think
we're
she's
talking
just caught up.
About grown women. We were referencing
yes.
Alex's friend who was how old? What, probably
28.
28 years old. We were
Liv,
referencing adults.
Hold on. I could see her point. We never said your friend's age.
Well, we were talking about like business professionals and
no,
having
no, no,
a
no,
job.
No, no, no.
Exactly.
But listen,
and I said
and
my
I said
friend.
My friends who graduated college.
I can see her point of where she's coming from. Obviously, she didn't grasp the full concept because there always happens, and that doesn't mean we're wrong for saying it, but there are some times where people are like, kids are listening. I could see why if she thought somehow, she must have missed it, that you're saying like, yeah, girls, if you're in middle school, you want that boy, you better make it.
If you're a parent listening to our show and you're more worried that your kids are going to listen to us as opposed to you, you've got bigger fish to fry. You've got way bigger fish to fry if your kid listens to a radio DJ before their own parent. That's all I have to say. But speaking of kids.
Well, I think she was saying, like, they look up to us.
Well, yes, I get that's
fine. But at the same point, like, parents should be telling their children and their teenage daughters, like, hey, it's not safe out there on the internet. What's his name? Chris Hansen has been showing us that forever.
Since 1995.
Unbelievable. Since 1995, so they all should right, know to right. keep that stuff private.
R.I.P.
If you're
his
under
career.
18.
But on a second note, my friend Danielle is public now, so you can slide into her DMs. And
Danielle!
I found something that I think kids are going to like. Apparently, this song has been out for a while, but it's just now gaining traction in like the parenting communities, and they are losing their ever-loving minds off of this song. Like, it's the next Baby Shark.
Well, let's start out with Baby Shark. Hello.
Baby Shark, Baby Shark.
A bop.
Addictive.
This flash.
Mommy Shark.
So you're saying there's a song out that is more addictive than this?
Supposedly, yes.
Okay, does it have to do with sharks, or what does it have to do with?
It has to do with monkeys, butts, and coconuts.
Well, that rhymes. All right, this is the song?
Yep.
Up butt, coconut, up butt, coconut, up butt,
what?
Coconut, up your butt with a coconut.
Up butt, coconut, up butt, coconut,
woo!
Up butt, coconut. Your butt with a coconut.
Coconut.
Yeah.
I am uncontrollably dancing right now.
What the heck is this?
Coconut. You know you're moving.
Coconut.
Yeah.
Coconut. Yeah. Your butt with a coconut.
Is that not the next Baby Shark or what? You heard it here first.
I mean, it's weird, but I don't think it's the next Baby Shark.
Wait,
Baby Shark's the bop.
You said this is a kid song?
Yes.
Coconut.
You think it's inappropriate? Mindy would be flipping. She's going to call us back now, isn't she?
Well, I'm just envisioning my mom would have cut that off after like the first 5 seconds.
Huh, I'm going to play Porkchop's favorite part of the song.
But with a coconut.
There we go.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
According to an ex-bodyguard, Brad Pitt is keeping his dating relationship with Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron.
That's how I have to say it. As quiet as possible so as not to anger his ex, Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie.
So Brad Pitt's ex-bodyguard, Chris Herzog, told the Sun, at the minimum, they're just friends with benefits. He believes Brad's fear of Angelina during their custody situation has caused him to tread carefully in his new relationship with Charlize.
He doesn't need any more kids, to be fair. He better be real careful.
Better be careful. It's been reported that Pitt and Charlize looked like they were an item together at a private house in Beverly Hills. The ex-bodyguard confirmed to The Sun that her ex, Sean Penn, is actually who set her up with Brad Pitt. He said, I spoke to Charlize about 4 months ago and she told me Sean Penn had introduced them. I know as a fact they've been together for the last 4 months. I've seen them once myself together. They're definitely dating, but they're keeping it secret until they work out whether it's going to be long-term or not. Demi Lovato's team presented her with a cake to celebrate 6 months of sobriety after her overdose last July. The Sorry Not Sorry singer posted a photo of the cake, which included the note, Happy 6 months, we are so blanking proud of you, to her Instagram stories. And she also posted a picture of herself holding her 6 month sober chip. So very proud of Demi. Good
Way
job.
To go.
Kate Beckinsale was hospitalized Saturday after suffering a ruptured ovarian cyst.
Ugh.
The actress explained to her Instagram followers, turns out a ruptured ovarian cyst really hurts and morphine makes me cry. So thankful to everyone who looked after me, hashtag wobbly. The 45-year-old Beckinsale posted a weepy photo of her face as well as one lying on her side facing the wall. Ruptured cysts can cause severe lower abdominal pain and bleeding, and in several cases may require surgery.
Breakfast alert, sorry.
And after recently getting engaged again, Chris Pratt discussed his future.
The perfect future, lots of kids, maybe less time spent working and more time spent enjoying life, and I always want to be that guy who like works to live rather than lives to work.
Coming up in less than an hour, what are people thinking about the Michael Jackson documentary that just came out? Murder Monday is brought to you by CAMS Roofing and Remodeling. Lower your heating bills with a professional insulation installation by CAMS Roofing and Remodeling. Visit CAMSroofing.com to schedule your free estimate. Murder Monday starts now.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer, who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips. Call them. Here's their number. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 800-222-TIPS.
This is the story of the Stainer brothers.
The odds of this happening within one family, it just makes you shake your head.
You have two brothers bonded by blood. But still, one deep, lingering question. Did somehow those experiences of the younger brother influence the maniacal behavior of the older brother?
The story begins with Stephen, who's the youngest. It's December 4th, 1972 in Merced, California. Stephen Stainer is 7 years old and is a freckle-faced second grader. As he's walking home from school, clutching the straps of his backpack, a man walks up to him. He tells Stephen that he works for a local church and is collecting money for the congregation. He asks Stephen if he thinks that his mom would want to donate any items to them. Stephen thinks about it, and he knows his mom is a nice lady, so he says yes. He thinks she'd probably be willing to donate something. The man asks Stephen to come with him. They walk just a few feet when a white Buick pulls up. Stephen willingly climbs into the car with the man, but they very quickly drive past Stephen's house, and now he's getting scared and confused. What Stephen was going to find out very soon is that the man who said that he worked at a local church was actually a guy named Irvin Edward Murphy, who had been recruited by the driver named Kenneth Parnell, a convicted child rapist, to help him abduct a little boy. Kenneth takes Stephen to a cabin that actually is only a couple hundred feet from Stephen's grandpa's house, but Stephen has no idea the entire time he's abducted. Kenneth molests Stephen that first night, and 13 days later, things escalate even further, as I'm sure you can imagine. And all of these first few days, Stephen pleads with Kenneth to let him go home. No one knew what had happened to Stephen. No one saw a thing. There were no cars or trucks to watch for, no sketches of possible kidnappers. Just like that, Stephen was gone, leaving his parents with nothing to do but post photos of their boy, follow dead-end leads, and desperately hope and wait. And this is the part that kills me, so get ready. Kenneth tells the 7-year-old boy that his parents couldn't afford him anymore since he was one of 5 children, and that they had asked him to adopt him since they didn't want him anymore. And as young as Stephen was, he believes it. And Kenneth tells Stephen that his name is now Dennis Parnell and told him to call him Dad. Kenneth acts like Stephen's father and for the next 7 years enrolls him into school and moves him all around California. Stephen's parents had even passed out flyers at one point of him to some of the schools that he was going to.
That's crazy.
But no one recognizes him.
Wow.
Kenneth gives him drugs and alcohol and leaves Stephen alone by himself when he does work during the day. And Stephen could have easily left, but he doesn't because he's been brainwashed into thinking that Kenneth Parnell is his real dad, and the memory of his parents and family has started to slowly fade away. He also has no idea how to ask for help. At one point, Kenneth brings Stephen a dog. It was a Manchester Terrier named Queenie. It was one of the only bright spots for Stephen during his 7-year abduction because things kept getting worse and worse. At one point, a girlfriend of Kenneth's moves in and joins Kenneth in assaulting Stephen in 9 separate occasions at the age of 9. Then in 1980, after Stephen begins to enter puberty, Kenneth is starting to lose interest in him. This is typical of pedophiles. Like, once you start going through that, they're like not interested. They want younger kids. So he actually forces Stephen to help him abduct another little boy. So on Valentine's Day, Kenneth and Stephen abduct 5-year-old Timothy White, and Stephen is beside himself. He is tortured by the thought of 5-year-old Timothy enduring the same abuse that he went through, and he knew it was do or die, that he would be coming home if he was able to save this kid for doing something positive. 16 days after Timothy is abducted, while Kenneth is away at his night security job, Stephen leaves with Timothy and hitchhikes for 40 miles. Stephen wants to take Timothy straight to his house, but this kid is 5 and they have no idea what his address is or how to find it. So Stephen walks up to a police station and tells Timothy to go in and ask for help without him. So Stephen is standing outside waiting for police officers to, you know, get Timothy. But police officers actually recognize him standing out there and they detain both of them. Stephen tells them right away that the little boy is the missing Timothy White and then reveals his own true identity and story. By daybreak, both boys are reunited with their families and Kenneth Parnell gets arrested. Kenneth is tried and convicted of kidnapping Timothy and Stephen in 2 separate trials, and Stephen even speaks and plays a huge role in convicting him. But Kenneth Parnell only gets sentenced to 7 years and then is paroled after serving 5.
That's insane. I mean, all of that right there is just insane. Could you imagine me and the parents getting that call? Hey, we found your son.
No. Like, it was a
what?
Massive reunion. So
wow.
Once Stephen gets home, he has a really hard time readjusting to a normal life. He was used to drinking and doing whatever he wanted with no rules, no curfews. Stephen said in an interview, I returned almost a grown man, and yet my parents saw me as their 7-year-old. After they stopped trying to teach me the fundamentals all over again, it got better. But why doesn't my dad hug me anymore? Everything has changed. Sometimes I blame myself. I don't know sometimes if I should have come home. Would I have been better off if I didn't? Stephen never gets proper therapy for his ordeal and refuses to talk about the sexual abuse of his abduction with anyone. He's teased at school for being molested and drops out and starts abusing drugs and alcohol. His relationship with his father is super strained, and eventually Stephen gets married and works briefly with child abduction groups and talks to them about being safe and having kids and being safe. But then in September of 1989, Stephen crashes his motorcycle and dies from fatal head injuries. 500 people attend his funeral, and then 14-year-old Timmy White was a pallbearer. It was a tragic short life for Stephen, but the trauma his family was to endure was only beginning. Murder Monday continues next.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of 3 bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Today we are talking about the Stainer brothers, and Alex, you got photos up on our Instagram right now.
Yes, tons of photos at Joan Alex Show. You can see what Kenneth Parnell, the abductor, looks like. You can see what he looks like, or what he looked like a couple years ago. Stephen Stainer, Timothy White, and Carrie Stainer, who is now the next part of this story. We left off with the abduction of 7-year-old Stephen Stainer, who was abused and held captive until he was 14 years old, a total of 7 years. When Stephen was abducted, his older brother, Carrie, was 11. And Carrie had started to feel neglected after Stephen's abduction by their parents and really yearned for more love and attention. When Stephen escaped his kidnapper, the media was obsessed with him. There were books and TV specials and TV movies made about his story. Carrie was obviously jealous. This is a kid also who I think clearly had some kind of genetic makeup that made him more susceptible to like psycho behavior. And then you put that in a sandwich with the trauma of his brother's kidnapping and emotional neglect, and voila, you get a monster. A year after Stephen dies in his motorcycle accident, they have an uncle, Jesse, who also dies. And now in hindsight, the family actually thinks that Carrie might have killed him because there is a big possibility that this Jesse guy had been molesting him. So Uncle Jesse is dead. And then 2 years later, Carrie tries to commit suicide and fails. A few years after that, he's charged with having methamphetamine and marijuana at some point. He's just a mess. And then in 1999, a woman named Carol Sund and her teenage daughter, Julie, and Julie's friend go to a lodge to stay the night where Carrie works as a handyman. Carrie knocks on their door in the middle of the night, pretending that he has something to fix. And that's when he sexually assaults both of the girls, and he strangles all three of them. A month later, the charred remains of Carol and the family friend are found in the trunk of their burned-out rental car in a remote area several hours away. The bodies are burned beyond recognition, so the police find out who they are from their dental records. And police receive a note in the mail with a hand-drawn map indicating the location of the third victim, Julie Sund. Julie's decomposed body was found about an hour away from her mom's and friends. Investigators first interview Carrie in the case, and they're asking him about this note because the note is real disturbing. It says something like, "We had a lot of fun with this one," like super weird. But they don't really believe that this clean-cut handyman who had no previous history of violence was involved. So instead, the investigation focuses on other employees at the Cedar Lodge and on suspicious people in the town of Modesto, where Carol Sun's wallet was found in the street several days after her disappearance. Then, on July 22nd, 1999, the decapitated body of someone named Joey Armstrong, a 26-year-old Yosemite naturalist, was found near her cabin. Investigators determined that this woman had just been murdered the previous day, and they go talk to Carrie, who was hanging out in a nudist colony.
Oh, my favorite place to hang out.
Right?
I mean, you really let it hang out.
And the thing is, as soon as the FBI questions Carrie, he admits to the entire thing. He tells them, yes, I killed all these four people. He says that he's fantasized about killing women since he was a kid, even before he says his brother was abducted. He says, his lawyers try to argue that this is all because he just has mental illness. And he has childhood sexual abuse and trauma from his brother's kidnapping, but Carrie ends up being convicted in all four murders and given the death penalty. And there is kind of a sad but also happy ending to this story. So in 2004, Kenneth Parnell, who had abducted Stephen Stainer and Timothy White and had served that joke of a jail sentence, is now 72 years old in 2004. He has a nurse and he literally asks her if she will get him a young boy for $500. The nurse is smart. She knows immediately who this guy is. She's like, we ain't doing this. She goes and tells the police and he gets arrested. He goes to trial and Timmy White, who then was a grown man, is subpoenaed to testify in Kenneth Parnell's criminal trial. And even though Stephen Stainer was dead, Stainer's testimony at Parnell's earlier trial was read to jurors as evidence. And in the end, Timothy White, who Stephen had helped save, not only helped convict now Kenneth Parnell into jail, because so this guy ends up getting 25 to life and he dies in prison. So see ya, he got his justice. And then Timothy White grew up to be a police officer, which I absolutely love, with the LAPD. He got married and had two kids. He died at 35 from a pulmonary embolism in 2010. So he just passed away a few years ago. But Kenneth Parnell ended up dying from old age while he was in jail. And after Timothy White died, 5 months later, a statue of Stephen and Timothy was put up in a local park that showed Stephen holding the hand of Timothy, escaping their captivity. You can see that photo. I'm going to put that up too on Instagram at Joan Alex Show. The story was rough, I know, but there's kind of a little bit of a happy ending in there. At least Kenneth Parnell got justice in the end, but it's kind of sad that both Timothy and Stephen did not get to live a long life.
I think the most insane thing to me, because there's tons of insane things in that story, Alex, but it's just like he was not that far away from their grandpa's house or
the thing. Whole time, like a couple hundred feet.
Whole time. Like you think your child's gone. It's
for
like
7 years.
Right there.
Yep.
So, wow. Okay. Thank you. That's Murder Monday here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. We are the Joe and Alex Show, and we got a couple things going on right now. First, let's have you call in at 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. If you would like a chance to play a little game this morning and qualify for a trip to the 61st Annual Grammy Awards, we will get you on hold. Producer Porkchop will get one or two people or whatever we're doing for the game. I don't know what it is yet. And then we shall play. So 833-JOE-ALEX. Before we play the game, though, we have to update everybody. If you missed the Joe and Alex Show on Friday, we got an email. I don't want to say exactly from who, but it's a boss in our company, somebody that kind of controls, in a sense, the show. I mean, they are our boss. And they were talking about, hey, you know what? They didn't call it censoring, but we thought it was censoring. They want us to change certain things that we do on the show, topics. They actually had a lot of suggestions of things that we should try to do. I mean, Alex, you weren't really happy about it. I know that.
No, because they wanted us to talk about basically our favorite recipes. That was their idea of a good show.
or a favorite book, which, don't get me wrong, I don't think, like, maybe when I do Joe Wants to Know, like, what is your favorite book? That could be maybe a good topic for that. I don't think that's a terrible idea.
I mean, that's an entirely different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I like People Magazine, but that's about all I got for book-wise.
But we talked about it, and I read the email on the air, which I probably wasn't supposed to do, and you guys really got heated over this. Like, we had emails to several of our bosses over the weekend. They were emailing us, like, what is going on? Why are we getting emails from all these people saying, like, you better not change the Joe and Alex Show. We'll never listen again. We had tons and tons and tons of comments on social media. So you guys really came to our defense on this, which we appreciate, because, you know, we don't want to change our content to be less edgy, per se.
I would like to do, like, Book of the Week or something, though. That does sound like a great idea.
Yeah, well, you guys did not like that idea, and you let us know that. And so
there was a few likes.
Thanks to you, we ended up meeting with that boss, and he basically said, you know, this was something that I was sticking to and something I felt strongly about until I started getting all these emails and seeing all these messages and comments on social media about the show. I feel like the best protocol would be to let you guys stay with what you're doing. So you saved the Joe and Alex Show. So thank you.
Yeah. So please keep on listening. We have almost 2 million listens on our podcast. So thank you so much for subscribing and following and doing that. Do us a favor. Go there, subscribe, give it a 5-star review. Tell your friends about the Joe and Alex Show.
Yeah. That's the thing. If you want us to stay the same and you don't want them to force us to change things up, then that's because, you know, you need to help us get those ratings and share about the show with your friends and share our podcast on social media and everything.
So you can do that all. Get all the information at joeandalexshow.com. Let's get somebody on the phone right now to play a little game today. Producer Porkchop, what are we doing for the trip to the Grammys, a qualifying chance?
Today, we just need one contestant, and if they get it right the first time, they will be the winner. But we're playing Name 5 in 10.
Okay, so everybody else hang on, because if this first person butchers it, you get a chance to play. Let's see here. I got line 1 through 7. Who should I go with? What line?
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
All right. Hey, Courtney, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, are you ready to qualify for a trip to the Grammys?
Yes.
All right. Porkchop, what is this going to be? How's this go?
Do you have the 10-second timer?
Oh, I got it ready to go right here. You want to hear it? Boom. Then it gives a buzzer at the end. So they got to name 5 things in 10 seconds?
Yes. Are you ready for your category, Courtney?
Yes.
All right, since this is Grammy week and we're qualifying you for a trip to win a trip to the Grammys, we are doing artists. For instance, Justin Bieber. Ready? Set? Go.
Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber. Oh man. Nelly. Usher.
Oh, you ran out of time. Hey, thank you for calling. And are you clarifying, are these anybody that's ever been nominated for a Grammy, or are these people that are for this year?
Nope, just artists, like, that are, you know, singers.
So you can just name any singer?
That is correct.
Wow, this is the simplest game I've ever heard of in my life.
And somehow she lost.
Wow, okay. Let's see here. Let's go to Dana. You're on the Joe and Alex Show. Dana, are you ready to play Name 5 and 10?
I'm ready.
All right, Porkchop, take it away.
All right, go ahead.
Wait, what am I doing?
Isn't it? It's the artist.
Wait, who's the artist?
That's, you tell us.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. All right, here we go. Dana, you're going to have 10 seconds to name 5 artists. Go.
Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
Boom. Just like that, we've got a winner.
Yeah.
Are you a 90s baby?
89.
Ah.
So I'm on it.
There's a 9 in it. That's close enough. Dana, hang on the line. We're going to get you that information. You are now qualified to fly away to L.A. to go to the Grammys. That'll get you also hooked up with hotel and accommodations. And just for getting qualified, we're going to give you digital downloads of artists that are nominated for this year's Grammy Awards. Hey, we've got chances like this all week long here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Hey, follow the Joe and Alex Show. We are on Twitter and Instagram. It is at Joe and Alex Show. And we're getting my wife Lindsay on the phone right now. You can also call in 833-JOE-ALEX because I want to hear what you think, whose side you're on. 833-563-2539. I got into what I would say is one of the dumbest fights I've had in a while with my wife. And listen, I've gotten better at this whole marriage thing, Alex. I know sometimes just to shut up and say, okay, it's not worth the fight.
Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. And as dumb as that is, it's the truth.
It's the truth.
I kind of understand it after being with her for 7 years. Kind of. We got into a fight, and this had to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Good morning, babe, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Did I wake you?
No, I'm just sleepy.
Okay. Well, don't forget, you have a job. We got to, you know, a house payment and stuff like that. Okay, so Lindsay and I were cooking dinner on, was it Friday night? When were we cooking?
No, it was Saturday.
All right, Saturday night we're cooking dinner, and she's like, hey, go grab this out of the spice rack area. And it's like up on top of like Mount Everest in our kitchen. It's like the worst spot to put it. And I don't even remember what she wanted me to go for or grab, but I couldn't find it. And I'm like, where is it? She's like, it's alphabetically ordered. Bleh. I'm like, how am I supposed to know that this person that has OCD worse than me alphabetically orders?
You didn't notice that it
no,
was?
No, I'm just like, oh.
Yes, well, thank you, Alex.
Hold on. Does anybody else, 833-JOE-ALEX is the number, 833-563, alphabetically order their spices and yes. their stuff? You
my,
do?
I grew up and my mom always had our spices in alphabetical order because how else are you supposed to find them? There's like literally 50 different spices that you keep in your house and they all look the same.
No, they
the
do not look the same.
The best way to keep them is alphabetical. Well, a lot of them are in bottles where you can't even see through them. Like a lot of the spices my mom gets are in little tins and so you can't even see through them. So how are you supposed to know what it is? It's in alphabetical order. You know where you're going to find it. It's easy.
Whatever. I don't need this, Liv. If you're not going to support me, I don't need this, okay?
I just don't understand how you've never noticed because like if you take a glance into the cabinet, you're going to see like, oh, like everything's here. In a, you know, in a some kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? Not trend, but
organizer.
Order.
I don't know. I just always look at it. And I'm like, okay, where am I looking at? Oh, that one says garlic. I need
so
garlic.
So you guys got into an actual fight over this.
Yes. And we're just arguing. And I'm like, I'm trying to help her make dinner. I'm trying to step up after 7 years and be an actual husband that helps her out. Because she's like, I wish you'd help me more. And I'm like, fine, I will actually help out with dinner. And then you're all up in my grill, Lindsay. You're all up in my face.
Well, and it wasn't even that, but then you also put them back in just random spots. And then yesterday, when I go to get something, I go to where that thing should be, and there's something completely different there. And I started looking, and even though you knew that they were in alphabetical order, you just put them back wherever. I don't understand. Like, it's not hard.
All right, well, if we're going to do random stuff here, continuing this topic, I, Alex, yesterday, I'm making French toast, like a healthier version, so I need like a little pinch of cinnamon. Guess where the cinnamon was?
In alphabetical order?
No, it wasn't labeled. It was in a random bowl that she had up there, a glass bowl. I'm like, oh, is that the exception for cinnamon? It has its own little spot?
That's different because oh. It's not in a little... I got it in Costa Rica, so it's not in a little spice jar.
Holy
like everything
crap.
Else is.
You guys have sloth cinnamon.
Yeah, we do. The sloths actually work in a factory. It's really cute. They take forever, though. They do about 10 bottles a week. But it's some of the best cinnamon you ever had.
It came in a bag instead of a jar, so I had to put it in like an airtight container.
All right.
Well, that makes sense to me.
So is everybody against me then? Is this what I'm finding out right now?
Here's the deciding factor. When you go shopping at the store and you find these spices, are they in alphabetical order at the store?
They are.
Ah.
I don't even think that, I mean, like, this is a dumb fight, I guess, although I've side with Lindsay on it. But, like, I don't even think this is the dumbest fight. Like, I feel like the Egyptian and I have you beat.
All right. Lindsay, thank you for calling in. You're wrong, as you can hear, but I appreciate it. I love you.
Love you too. Bye, guys.
Bye. Then, okay, 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539. You heard my dumb fight with Lindsay, and we're going to hear Alex's right now, but what is your dumb fight?
A few weeks ago, the Egyptian had invited his couple friends over, a guy and a girl, okay, that he's friends with. And I had asked him beforehand, I was like, hey, should we tell them to bring some games or something over? And he's like, no, I don't think so. It's not that big of a deal. Well, these people called the Egyptian on the phone to say, hey, we're on our way. And I said, oh, you guys, if you want to bring a game or something, feel free. And the Egyptian hangs up the phone and freaks out on me and tells me how disrespectful it is that I asked that after he told me not to, that these are his friends, and that I, because he told me not to say it, I shouldn't have. And I was like, are you psycho? There, it does not matter. I was like, it's a game. I was just trying to be a nice hostess. I was just trying to be nice to your friends. And he flipped out, and we ended up getting in such a big fight over this that he had to call them back and say, Alex and I are fighting, you guys can't come over. So they had to turn around and not come over.
Oh, that's awkward.
And I said, you are an absolute psychopath. He's like, it's not the premise of like a game. Like, that's not what bothers me. It bothers me that I told you these are my friends. I know them. They don't need to bring a game, and you still told them to anyway. Anyway, and I was like, I was being nice. They don't have to bring a game.
The only reason I'm going to side with Alex here is because I feel like when people come over, they feel like they have to bring something. So it's nice for you to suggest to bring something.
So
free.
That's what I said. And his argument to that was, his counter to that was, well, they're my friends that I've been best friends with forever. You barely know them. And they've been to my house a million times. They know they don't have to bring anything. And I was just like, okay, well, you know what? I don't know. I'm just trying to be nice. But he flipped out on me, and we fought the entire night for hours.
Nothing says I'm trying to be nice like, I'm trying to be nice, okay?
Yeah. I didn't think that was a big deal at all. I said, this is your psycho moment.
833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. We will talk to you next here on the Joe and Alex Show. It's the Joe and Alex Show. Monday Music Marathon on radio now. Hit the hype horn. Hit the hype horn. 833-JOE-ALEX. Love for you to join in this conversation. What is the last dumb fight you had? Alex fought over... was it even a board game? What game,
honestly,
did you want him to bring?
Anything they wanted. And honestly, every single fight the Egyptian I have is stupid like this. We don't ever fight about big things. It is always something ridiculous. And he told me, don't tell my friends before they come over that they can bring a game if they want to. I told them anyway, and he was mad that I did that.
I would love for the Egyptian to call in and defend himself. Live the web, girl.
That just sounds so insanely controlling to me. Like, that would be a major red flag for me if that was my relationship.
That's what I told him. I said, listen, we're all allowed one free psycho moment. This is yours.
Alex says that per hour, though. It's per relationship.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the phones this morning. We want to hear yours. Chris, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. What do you want to say?
Hey, so I think you guys have like a communication problem or something, but I think...
Who, me and my wife, Lindsay?
No, not you. Sorry. I'm sorry. Who?
Alex and the Egyptian?
Yes, Alex and the Egyptian have a communication problem.
Really? Yeah, we do. Yes, yeah. I know.
Yeah, so here's my thought on it, though. It's good that you asked about bringing games to him, but once you asked his friends, like, you'd already asked him once. I don't get why you would ask him and just...
That's exactly what he said. That was exactly his whole reasoning behind why he was mad, but... To me, I don't get it. Liv the Web Girl doesn't get it.
It is kind of undermining somebody, though. I think it would
That's what he said. He said it was disrespectful. Like, when he tells me something, like, then I just need to know that's what it is. And I was just like, are you crazy?
No, I don't think he's that crazy with it. I feel like it's the same thing if you told him that and he did it the other way. I don't think it's like
the
end of the world.
But I asked him for his opinion. He gives it to me. And then I immediately just, like, ignored it anyway.
That is
what
typical of you.
Well, and so his delivery of his opinion was wrong. You know, he doesn't need to fight about it or anything else, like, other than if you do this all the time, you know, but it could have been handled better, obviously,
The fact that one person is going to get so frustrated and so irritated and so angry over something so small and stupid of just mentioning it anyways and calling her disrespectful, that shows me that this person has serious anger problems and control issues, and I am running the opposite
way. How does that show that
that's
he has anger problems? Like, if he punched a wall or something.
No, but to get so
I mean, he
angry,
just said, hey, that was disrespectful.
To get so angry that he, like, hangs up on his friends and he's like, that's so disrespectful. I already told you. Like, you're not his child. You're his partner.
It sounds like you're angrier than the Egyptian was.
Well, I'm just so angry because I've been in control controlling relationships before, and I've had guys talk to me like that before, and literally, like, that's a red flag to me.
I don't know
their full relationship. I'm just saying this one instance.
Liv, I don't think this situation was controlling, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, if he did this all the time or tried to tell me, like, what I can and can't wear and things like that, then I probably would be, like, really concerned and trying to get out. But he doesn't do that. It was just this because he said, you know, I just feel like as your boyfriend, you should respect me just like I would respect you. If I asked you a question about your own friends, you tell me the answer, and then I just went around it anyway.
Hey,
I don't know.
Hey, thank you for the call this morning. We appreciate it. Brittany's on the Joe and Alex show. Brittany, what do you think?
I'm totally Team Egyptian on this one. I think it's a principle issue. I think if you ask Alex not to say anything, then just out of respect, okay, not say anything. I do agree he probably blew up a little bit, but I'm such a principle person that I get where he's coming from.
I can't believe, how long have you been with the Egyptian, Alex?
A little over 9 months.
I can't believe he hasn't figured out that with Alex, it's the opposite game. Anything you tell her not to do, she'll do. So if you do the opposite, it usually works.
Listen, it's not like he's like, hey, my friends got into a really big fight. I know I told you all about it, but I know that like my friend didn't want me to tell you, so don't bring it up. And then she goes and brings it up. That's different. But bringing up like, hey, do you want to bring over a board game, like that's insane that someone can actually get mad about that.
Liv, you don't know the backstory though. You ever play Cards Against Humanity and you have a really big fight afterwards? Monopoly?
I wish his friend was listening because I would love to hear his friend that was the middle of all of this to share what he thinks.
The Egyptian would call up and like, hang up.
Yeah.
No talking.
You gotta pick and choose your battles.
All right. Brittany, thank you for calling in. Let's wrap up with Nadia. You're on the Joe and Alex show. Do you got a dumb story, like a dumb fight?
Yeah. Me and my girlfriend were at the gas station a few days ago, and she was about to get out, and she saw a raccoon jump out the trash can. Well, it freaked her out, so I'm like, all right, I'll go in with you. Well, she panicked and said I should go in for her, so we sat there and argued in front of the gas station for about 40 minutes before we even decided if I was going to go in for her or with her.
This is amazing.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to like, okay, let's go to a different gas station without an attacking raccoon?
I mean, I don't care. I just wanted to go in the gas station so we could go home. It's 30 degrees outside. It's cold. Let's get it over with and do what we got to do.
What did you have to go get inside the gas station?
I think she wanted a bottle of water.
Okay.
This is so dumb.
This is very dumb. Exactly what we're looking for. All right. Well, who ended up getting the water?
We both went in.
Jeez.
That is awful.
I love it.
You might win.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for calling in with your dumb fight story. If you got any other ones, hey, let us know on Twitter. It's at Joe and Alex Show.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
The 4-hour Michael Jackson documentary Leaving Neverland had its world premiere on Friday at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. And the film centers on allegations of abuse by Wade Robson and James Safechuck. Leaving Neverland galvanizes their stories with extensive research and concrete evidence. One Twitter user said, "You'll never listen to Michael Jackson the same way again. In fact, you may never listen to Michael Jackson again at all." Critics also said Leaving Neverland is devastating and contains sickening forensic details. Jackson denied all allegations that he abused underage boys during his lifetime, and his estate has done the same. Lady Gaga surprised fans during her Las Vegas concert when she pulled her A Star Is Born co-star Bradley Cooper on stage for a performance of their Oscar-nominated original song from the film Shallow.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world?
Be pretty cool if you were there to see that.
I know. Model Gisele Bündchen learned English when she first moved to America by listening to Boys to Men. Gisele revealed this in an episode of Carpool Karaoke with Boys to Men. She said, "So I moved to New York City when I was 16. I didn't speak a word of English, but my sister, she was like, here, take my cassette. And the cassette tape she made for me, one side was Boys to Men, the other side was Mariah Carey. So she traveled around the world with her Walkman right by her side, and she told Boys to Men, I was like, I'm going to learn English, and that's it. I have to say, you guys were my teachers, so thank you. And Victor Willis, the policeman from The Village People, now owns half the copyright to the group's music and revealed that he used to walk around with $30,000 to $40,000 in his pockets.
Are you kidding me?
No. However, now he only carries a maximum of $100. He found plenty of ways to spend his money, but says some splurges were not as smart as others. He said, "My first worst financial decision was to invest in a non-existent gold mine. I learned not to invest in things that sound too good to be true because they normally are. It only took six 6 hours for him to write the lyrics to the song YMCA, but writing the final draft only took 10 minutes. Willis doesn't know how much he made in total from the YMCA. He still is making millions of dollars a year, he said, and he said that that's been going on consistently for the last 40 years.
I don't even understand how he could put $30,000 in his pockets.
I don't know how you'd fit that either.
That's insane.
He must have been wearing those Django jeans that have like massive pockets.
Love
on the
those.
Side.
YMCA.
That's the garbage.
Hey, you can join in this conversation that we're having at 833-JOE-ALEX. That is 833-563-2539. We'll kick it off with producer Porkchop. Is this something that you said you saw online or somebody texted you? You're kind of like, wow, that's kind of weird.
It was Instagram stories.
Okay, now what did you see?
Well, I was just looking through and then something caught my attention. My friend, not really a friend, just an acquaintance.
Okay.
Posted a screenshot and it said, officially back in the dating market. Well, actually, he typed on the screenshot. But as I look closer, it said, finding background for, and then the name was scratched out, and it said 64% completed. Locating information, preparing report, verifying report. Verifying lawsuits, liens, and bankruptcies.
Wait, so they were doing a background check on somebody?
Yes.
Wait, yeah. Were they approving him for a loan or a job?
I have no idea. I can see at the top, it's from mylife.com. So I'm assuming they do like background checks. And this is crazy. I couldn't imagine doing this. And especially, I wonder if he had to pay for it.
I bet he had to pay for it. What do you mean it's normal to background check people?
I do the same thing. My friends do the same thing.
You're crazy.
No,
that's
Alex
crazy.
Alex is crazy. No doubt about it.
No, I'm just one step ahead of the game.
Why would you have to do that?
Because, here's the story. I went to the club with my girlfriend. This is back when I was single. And I met this guy, started talking to him. We're making out. While we're making out, my friend reaches into his pocket, takes his ID out.
No.
Runs a background check on him while we're there. Then, as we're leaving, she pulls me aside. She's like, Alex, you have to know about this guy. Because he's all telling me, like, here's my number. I'm going to take you out this week. I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm like drunk. So then she's like, no, Alex, you can't. I just did a background check on him. And he has been arrested like 9 times. And so we started calling him Hot Felon.
Oh, my gosh.
Honestly, this doesn't seem like a bad idea because my cousin's best friend was dating a guy who was older than her when she was in high school. And they were dating for like probably 6 months and she was head over heels in love with him. Then all of a sudden, in class, or English teacher decides to show them how you use the website, like to see if there's predators around you your neighborhood, and you can search people's names.
Yikes.
Using it. And so, like, as a joke, they were typing in like their guy friends and their boyfriend's names. Obviously, nothing was coming up. Then all of a sudden, they type in their best friend's boyfriend's name, who was like older. And stuff came out that he was like a sexual predator.
Hold
on, let's try it real quick. Type in Porkchop's name.
Yeah, dude, I've never been arrested.
Never been arrested. Okay. 833-JOE-ALEX. I don't know. To me, it seems like, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but you two are kind of to the extreme with that. Alex and Liv is who I'm talking about. Do other people, guys or girls, actually, I guess, do research or detective work and you kind of find out this information before you go on a date with somebody or maybe after the first date?
There's no way.
And if you have, did you find out these crazy things? Like Alex found out the guy was like 7 or 8 times had felonies or arrests?
Yeah. See, and I almost went on a first date with him after that night at the club, but then I was saved by my friend.
All right. We'll talk to you next year on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. How much research are you doing? Like, I guess, playing detective work are you doing before you go on a date with someone? 833-JOE-ALEX. Alex and Liv apparently are going pretty hardcore.
So I only used to do this in college when the information was at my fingertips. I worked at our university's gym, so I had access to like every single student's like file pretty much. So I knew their parents' names, their emergency contact, their birthday.
Juicy.
I knew their parents' house, everything like that. So I used to take their family's address that was listed and look it up on Google Earth to kind of see like what their parents' house looked like.
Oh, wait a minute. Am I the only one that realizes Liv still works at a gym?
I know, but trust me, I don't have access like that anymore. The only thing I have access to is tissues to blow little kids' noses into.
That seems highly illegal to me, but I don't know.
Why is that illegal? I have that information. I was a secretary. So.
I think Porkchop's right on that one. Elijah, thanks for hanging on. You're on the Joe and Alex Show. You doing research or anything?
I want to say, like, what's the difference between, like, you know, like stalking their social media and like all of that before dating them and doing like a background check. I guess like a background check is like being extra safe, like stalking their social media and all that. I feel like we all do that. Just getting a background check is being extra safe about it, I kind of think.
Yeah, I mean, if you're stalking somebody's social media, you can find out their friends, what they do for a living.
Yeah, you can find out
things
anything,
like that.
But then getting a background check.
But you're probably not going to find out. They're not going to put on there like Throwback Thursday, that time I got arrested for molesting somebody. They're not going to do that. So that's why a background check is necessary to find out the deep stuff.
You don't know. Maybe they'll do like hashtag Felon Friday. Reason I got locked up. Hey, thank you, Elijah, for calling into the Joe and Alex Show. Let's say good morning to Sammy. Sammy, what did your mom do?
She ran a background check on my boyfriend.
What'd
after
she find
we had
out?
Been together for a month. She found out that he had had two divorces to the same woman.
Ooh.
And she was able to tell me like how many cars he had, his house, how much it cost, before I even had a chance to find any of this information out from him.
You did not know that he had been married not once but twice previously to the same chick?
No, but we had only been together for a few weeks. So
were you mad at your mom, or were you happy that your mom did that?
Kind of mad, just because that's information that you should be able to find out in your own time with your significant other.
I mean, yeah, and there's no reason to be upset. Like, that's not a deal breaker if the guy has been married and divorced and remarried. It shows he's committed sometimes.
Right, extra committed, yeah.
He's right there. Hey, Sammy, thank you for calling into the Joe and Alex Show.
My friend Corey texted me. He does hair. And he said, you're not crazy at all. People front for Instagram and social media, and you have to get the info where you can. He said, I found out a woman had three bankruptcies. Bye. Chick was trying to get free weave.
Let's talk to Anonymous on the Joe and Alex Show. What did you do after three dates?
So after three dates, the girl I was dating had brought up that for us to flip pancakes, we would both have to go out and take tests for STDs.
Yes, I like this girl.
And it was amazing. I mean, we went out and we did it together, and she did it also, and we both passed with flying colors, dated for about 3 years, and flipped pancakes the whole time.
Woo! I have no problem with that. I think that's smart.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It was.
Yeah, that is smart. But going back to the other one about the background check, I feel like everyone is just going to be single then for the rest of their lives, and no one will ever be dating anyone.
I won't, because I have a sparkling background check. So I don't know about you, Pork Chop, but I've
got
nothing.
Do you know how many
about
things? It's like suspended license, failure to register.
That would definitely come up.
Yeah, that comes up.
Yeah.
Expired registration.
No, you have to get a vehicle background check. That's like a specific.
No, it isn't. Because the reason that guy that I had made out with, hot felon, had been arrested all those times, almost all of them had to do with like not going to court for paying speeding tickets. It was like a whole bunch of stuff.
But that's another, I've paid every
you
speeding
didn't.
Ticket.
It said that you had a suspended license.
Also, but he had suspended that license that was on there.
That was wiped from my record because I did have proof of insurance. That was their fault. So that was wiped from my record. You guys, okay. I messed up with my car once. No, I'm not a felon.
It's for sure on there. I'm telling you. He had a suspended license on there.
I've never stolen. I've never whatever. I've never been in jail. Like, geez Louise.
When you try to get a job, I'm telling you, when you try to get a job after here one day.
Yeah, if you ever leave the Joe and Alex Show,
they're going to see that when the company runs into the background check.
They won't see it because it was wiped from my record.
Liv, I am telling you, it's on there.
It was wiped from my record because it was not supposed to be suspended, so it was wiped from my record. I'm telling you.
Spoken like a true felon right there.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy. Oh, yeah. It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
A Texas teen used an electric scooter.
This is the Jetsons.
To get away after robbing a bank. And, well, he was arrested. The 19-year-old robbed the bank and got away with an undisclosed amount of money. Now, after the robbery, he was seen scooting away on something called a jump scooter. It's made by Uber, but it's the same idea of a bird scooter or a Lime scooter, just one of those that you ride around on. Cops then requested account information from Uber for the jump scooters, which were in the area at the time of the robbery. Because they're like, well, the guy took off on a scooter. Sure enough, all that information, like your name, your phone number, your address, everything is usually associated with that account, unless he used somebody else's, but he used his. And that information led to his arrest.
This is the most like typical millennial robbery ever, like not thinking through the full process.
Oh, for sure.
Not realizing it leaves a digital trail.
Every day you tell us a dumb story, and every day I don't think they can get dumber.
But then they do. That's your Dummy of the Day on the Joe and Alex Show. It is the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. This story, I was a mixture of sad and angry and just pissed. Did you guys hear about this story? It's starting to go viral now. It's happened in Oklahoma. Police are investigating a bullying video that has now gone viral. In the video, which I'm about to play, it was recorded by another student on the bus. You hear this boy crying and begging the bus driver to let him stay on the bus. Why? Because at his bus stop, where he's about to get off, is some kid that wanted to beat his butt.
Oh, this is awful.
So listen to this audio. Then I want to get your thoughts on this at 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. Because, oh my God, if this was my brother or if I was a parent, I would, somebody's going to be answering to me. Check this out.
Cell phone video is 47 seconds long, showing the intense situation between the two students.
No! You better get off or I drag you off.
And you're going to kill and try to punch me.
He's just begging. The kid's crying.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard. Why did you subject me to this?
Because I think people need to know about this.
Ugh, it's terrible.
No, please go down to my house.
He's like, please drop me off at my house, which is not normally the stop, but he wants to, you know, go there so the bully won't do anything because he knows the kid will be there.
Get out of here. Go.
No. Oh. Jacob, run.
Get out of here.
Jacob, run. I'm
going to
try to sell him off.
Jordan, please.
Let him get off.
We heard me.
Oh, no.
Please.
No.
Get
off.
Please. No. Okay, God.
What is he doing? Being dragged off?
They're kind of like, come on, go, get off
the
bus.
And
the
bus driver's like, is he pushing him?
The bus driver's just sitting in the seat. The bus driver's not doing anything.
Who's taking him off the bus then? Another kid?
Like, other kids are just like, come on, like, get off the bus. I mean, they're not physically dragging him off, but they're, you know what I mean? Like you push a kid out of a seat or something.
This is
like,
terrible.
Go, go.
Just before punches are thrown, the student seen here makes it clear he does not want to get off.
And you're gonna kill and try to punch me!
Here you can hear another person threaten to force the student off of the bus.
No!
You better get off or I drag you off.
Mays County Sheriff's Office says you can also hear an adult voice interrupt the situation.
Hey, get out of here! Go!
The video is alarming itself, and obviously that's enough for us to start an investigation.
Major Rod Howe with the Mays County Sheriff's Office says investigators are now looking into another cell phone video, plus two cameras on the bus for more evidence. Howe says the school district is cooperating and investigators are also working to get the black box off the bus.
Not just visual, but audio. So that could possibly give us something of evidentiary value, but it's too early to tell.
Locust Grove Public Schools released a statement saying the students and bus driver's actions have been addressed internally.
The school district would not comment any further on whether or not the bus driver is still employed. Live
what
in Northwest
joke.
Arkansas.
That bus driver needs to be fired and charged as part of the process of allowing an assault to happen.
Did that kid, though, get beat up?
Yeah, I mean, like, he gets off the bus in the video you can see, and as soon as he gets off, the kid runs up and starts punching him.
Are you joking?
The kid, like, crumbles up into the fetal position.
Oh, my gosh, and the bus driver just drives off?
I don't know what happened after that. The video ends.
So, that was where? Mays County, Arkansas?
No, that was in Oklahoma.
Oh, Mays County, Oklahoma. I'm literally going to look up their school district, and, like, I want to call.
No, it bothers me, and listen.
This is a terrible story.
I understand the kid's bully, and it's terrible, and that happens, like cyberbullying. But as a bus driver, the one thing you could control, you can't control what happens on these phones, like until after the fact a lot of times. You can control not letting this kid or forcing this kid to get off when he's begging you and crying. He is pleading, please let me off. You can drive him to the house. And you see the kid there. It's not like nobody's there. The bully's there like, I'm going to beat your butt.
I don't understand how this bus driver did not take action. I don't care if it is not on your route. You do not let a child get off the bus when there is a bully right there. Or you call the cops and have the cops
intervene,
walk that kid to his house so the bully cannot touch him.
I just can't believe how many failures there were on this one, Liv and Alex and Porkchop, as far as the bus driver not stopping. The man, maybe he was like an aide or something, an assistant on the bus, him not stopping. Or at least getting off and like, get out of here, kid. Get the hell out of here. You're not touching him. They failed him.
Here's the problem. If you do not like kids or you are not compassionate to kids, do not subject yourself to a career field where you're going to be surrounded by them. Because clearly this bus driver and this school aide were completely lacking compassion. Don't go into that field. Are you joking? There are so many people that love kids and would love to teach them and take care of them. Let them do those jobs, not someone who's going to subject a child to this.
So you're saying that you like kids that are snotty and get you sick all the time at your gym job?
Yes. Yes, even though I get spit on at my gym job and sometimes I dread going there, I would never in my life ever let something like this happen to me or to any of them.
Poor Liv's like the kid in the video when she walks into the gym. She's like, no, don't let him get me.
Don't spit on me.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now 100.9. Happy Monday to ya. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Joe and Alex Show. Check out the podcast. We put all the blogs up for the garbage. Everything at joeandalexshow.com. And speaking of podcasts, make sure wherever you listen to us, you subscribe and give us a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Actually, share with your enemies too, because maybe they'll really like it or maybe they'll hate it. Either way, it's good stuff.
Friday, I told you guys that the Egyptian was taking me out on a date night and that I didn't know what we were going to do after dinner, but like the pressure was on to make sure it was something that I would really enjoy and want to do. So we ended up going to Bonefish Grill for dinner, and then he took me to the movies to go see The Upside with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart, which I talked about earlier in the show, but that's what he ended up doing. I said I would fill you in and give you an update at this time today. So that's it. I was happy with that. I know that isn't as creative as some other stuff that I had listed, but he told me he chose that because in the list of things I gave as suggestions when he asked me what I would want to do, that was the first thing I listed. And he said he's learned from sales psychology that if somebody gives you a list of things, the first thing that's in the list is what they want to do the most.
Hey, turn your mic on.
Interesting.
There we go.
Yeah, so that's what we ended up doing.
It was probably the cheapest option, too, compared to everything else you had on there. Like, rent a helicopter.
Used a gift card for dinner and for the movie.
So what's
so
the problem
with
that?
Yes, it was cheap. He used a gift card.
Okay, did you want him to spend his hard-earned cash?
I don't care, but I mean, I'm just saying, like,
it was
the cheaper option.
Like you do.
Well, he didn't have a gift card to go make a pottery thing, so he did have a gift card for a movie, though. I think that's actually why he chose that, not because I listed it first.
Even as a couple, you're still like, spend money.
I do recommend that movie. You guys should go see it today for a matinee for something to do because it's very good.
All right. You haven't talked much about it. Don't you have to go to the dentist again today?
Yeah. So I was supposed to get all my cavities filled like 2 weeks ago, but I got home and I ended up being too tired. So I rescheduled it for today to get the rest of them done. So I've been sitting on a couple cavities here for a couple weeks.
Ugh. As you pound down that cheesecake, which is all sugary goodness.
So now I will finally be cavity free at the end of today. But I mean, it takes hours to go get this done.
Wow. All right. Well, Godspeed with that one. Porkchop, what do you got going down?
I mentioned earlier this morning how I went out over the weekend and I was really hungover. But when I went out, oh man, I went all over downtown, Tin Roof, Brothers, and I saw all these people that were like so excited to meet me.
I literally hate Tin Roof.
What? That place was so much fun. They were singing all my favorite songs from
Alex
the 90s.
Alex is bougie, though. Like, she's got to go to the fancy places. I love Tin Roof.
Man. No, because I love Brothers. Like, there are other bars that I really like.
Now, that's douchey at Brothers.
Well, there is a lot of Chads there, but I like Brothers because here's the thing. I can't go to a bar that doesn't play rap. I hate cover bands. So, to me, like, that is the worst thing. I want a DJ, and I want really dirty trap music. That's the only thing I want to go to a bar that has. Whenever I'm at Tin Roof, it's either country, and then it transitions into cover songs, and that's my personal least favorite?
Well, I loved it, and I want to shout out all the people that I met. I forgot all their names because there's like 10 of them, but yeah, a lot of people that love the show.
Very memorable. Okay, Liv the Web Girl.
I just have work.
It's work, much work, it. Work, work, work.
I'm going to try to not get sick, try to not get spit on, try to not get Ew. Toys thrown at me, so oh. we'll see how I do.
Take an airborne, please.
Yeah, thanks.
I will.
Thinking of the team there. We appreciate that one. All right, well, for all that to happen, we got to get out of here. So, Alex, Liv the Web Girl, producer, Pork Chop, myself, Joe, let's say goodbye.
Bye. Bye.